So Adams Road Piano. Thank you, Maestro Matt. Just kidding. Excited to be here with you in Friendswood. You guys have been very friendly. Get it? Okay, that one was better than the first one. Anyway, so my name's Joseph, and sorry you have to get used to the really dumb jokes, but I grew up in Utah, and just a very strong Mormon family, and everything I knew was this religion, and so I really had no reason to doubt it, and I had no reason to seek a life outside of it. Now, in the year 2004, I was sent on my mission to Orlando. And, you know, just like these guys were saying, like they were hoping for somewhere exotic. And my dad had served in Tahiti. And so, but I mean, at least JP got to go out of the country to Hawaii. But anyway, I was glad I went to Orlando. And the reason why is because God had a plan for me. And right at the beginning of my mission, I met Micah. And Micah's on the drums back there. There's a picture of us. I know I don't look 19. I look more like 12 or 13. But and we were really close friends. And he actually gave me that same challenge that minister had given him. I really didn't know what had happened with him and that minister. All I knew was that God started to soften my heart. And I had to empty myself of what I already believed and just go and approach the Bible, letting God teach me. And as I began to approach the New Testament as a child, he started to unveil his grace to me and show me the things that I had been missing, show me that the doctrine that I had believed all my life started to contradict. And I had to realize that I was a sinner. You see, all my life, growing up in a works-based religion, it causes you to be very self-righteous. And so you think that you're better than other people. You look at yourself. You're looking at all the good works that you're doing, and you're thinking that that measures you up to God. Jesus gives a parable that describes who I was and then who he was going to transform me into. It's in Luke 18, and he says that two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." So this guy's trying to justify himself to God and saying, "Look at all the things I'm doing." So that's exactly who I was at the time. Jesus then says, "The tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" And then Jesus says, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." And I was exalting myself in this religion, and I was trying to justify myself to God. Just like it says in Galatians that we know a person is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So God had to break me, and it was a very difficult time in my life because through those 2 years of my mission, studying the Word of God and being convicted and realizing more and more and more how full of sin I was and how much I did not deserve God's mercy or his love, that I was not a righteous person. No one's righteous, not even one. And our righteous acts are like filthy rags to God. And so through the reading of the New Testament on my own, and also through Christians not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ and planting seeds of God's word in my heart, it was changing me. And I got home from a mission back to Utah 2 years later, and this was in 2006. And finally gave my life to Jesus. And I was finally like that tax collector where I could see my sin clearly. I couldn't hide it any longer. And I just begged for God to have mercy on me because that was my only hope. And Jesus was my only hope. And for the first time in my life, I realized how much I needed Jesus. And so then he invited me into this personal relationship with him. And so as you can imagine, I was excited, very excited to share it with my family, but at the same time terrified because I knew that I might lose relationships. In my family, when I shared that they need to read the New Testament like a child and told them that Jesus is all that they need, that religion can never satisfy, I lost the relationships of most of my family members. I mean, it tore my family apart. And over the years, through the reading of God's word, one of my sisters, the one in the yellow shirt in the picture right next to me, She's the only one that's come out of that religion and entered a personal relationship with Jesus. And I praise God for the change that he has made in her life. And I hold the hope. Yes. Praise God. I thank him every day for saving my sister. And I just hope that my rest of my family will be reconciled to God as well through Jesus Christ, and that they can realize that this personal relationship with Jesus is the most important thing in life. It's the most important thing to me. It's more than I value any of those relationships that I lost. And so in spite of all those things that I lost, I gained so much more in the relationship with Christ Jesus. And also, obviously, marrying into their family, you know, when their sister Katie came to know the Lord, then I also got to be a part of, you know, a Christian family, and I just praise the Lord for that. There's a picture of Katie and I, and we don't have any kids. We have three cats and a pet scorpion and a pet snake, but they keep us pretty busy, so we're, you know, but anyway, so, but there was something that happened on my mission that I want to tell you about. It really impacted me, and it's something that I look back on and find comfort, especially when I was dealing with losing all those things for Jesus. And it was an event that happened at the end of my mission. And Micah at the drums, remember, he said that he stood up in front of that room full of missionaries and said, "Jesus is all that you need." And then he said that I was one of those missionaries in the audience. You guys remember what I'm talking about? The rest of the story is that Micah asked a question that brought God's love to a personal level. And Micah started crying when he asked this question. And then it just caused me and all these other, I'm like looking around at all these other missionaries, and we're all crying because we were just so blown away by God's love. And I want you to ask yourself the same question this morning. Don't you think that while Jesus was on the cross, that he saw your face? Don't you think he looked into your eyes and said, "I love you, and I would die for you so that you could live"? And just try to imagine a question like that impacting an unbeliever like me at the time, not understanding God's love for me, not understanding why Jesus would want to look into my eyes while he hung on the cross, because I was starting to see how sinful I was. And so why would he want to look into my eyes? Why does he love me? Why does he love any of us? Because we're all enemies of God and enemies of the cross. Until we're reconciled to God by faith in Jesus Christ and entered into that personal relationship. It says in 1 Peter 2:24, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." So we're the ones that deserve God's wrath and his anger. And yet Jesus took all of that on the cross for us and replaced it so that we have peace and forgiveness and mercy and love from God. It says in Isaiah 53 that he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, and make it a personal thing to you that he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. It says, it goes on in Isaiah 53 and says that he was led like a lamb to the slaughter and he poured out his soul to death. And then in verse 10, it says, "When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring." And that just gave me so much comfort to know that Jesus saw me while he hung on the cross. That for so many years of my life, I was not an offspring of God. I was not a child of God until I accepted Jesus by faith. Like John says, or in John 1, it says that whoever receives him, Jesus, and believes in his name, they are given the right to become children of God. And that's how we're reconciled to God. That's how that gap is bridged. It's through the cross of Jesus Christ. And I look back at my life and when I was a missionary, and I feel a lot like Paul must have felt when he told Timothy, "Formerly, I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent opponent. Yet I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me in the love and faith that are in Christ Jesus." Just like it says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. And for so long in my life, the message of the cross was foolishness to me. And I mocked it. And I blasphemed the true God. And I tried to destroy the Christian church. But yet God had mercy on me and loved me in spite of all that. And then like the rest of the 1 Corinthians says of 1:18, but the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, It is the power of God. There's this beautiful imagery in Isaiah 49 where it asks a question, can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. And we just sang that song about it, that Jesus has engraved us on the palms of his hands. That's the personal love that Jesus has for each one of us. And he gives an invitation in Matthew 11 saying, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we tried to find rest in our religion. We tried to find it in our works. I was once a slave to sin and a slave to religion, but now I'm a slave of righteousness, slave to Jesus Christ and him alone. And that's the invitation that Jesus offers to all of us, that we can find that rest and we can give our lives to Jesus. If there's anyone this morning that doesn't have that relationship with him, I encourage you to ask him into your heart, and he will forgive you, and he will give you mercy even though you don't deserve it, because none of us do. None of us did. If you have a relationship with Jesus, then we encourage you to not be ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to all who believe. And you've heard how the gospel has changed our lives, the good news of Jesus Christ. This last song we're going to sing is called I Would Die For You. And we want you to imagine Jesus on the cross, bearing your sins in his body on the tree. This song was written from that question that Micah asked me and those other missionaries years ago. And so just picture him on there, paying your sin debt and looking into your eyes and telling you, I love you and I would die for you so that you can live.